You're listening to KBOO Portland.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio, of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Amanda Hill, here with my co-host Jamie Partridge. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Amanda.
How's it going?
Another day in paradise.
Exactly. Tonight we're here talking with Rosetta Venetucci. I didn't say it right. Business representative of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Moving Picture Technicians, Artists, and Allied Crafts, known as simply the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, or IATSE for short. It's a labor union representing over 140,000 technicians, artisans, and craft persons in the entertainment industry, including live theater, motion theater, picture, and television production, and trade shows in the United States and Canada. IATSE Local 28. Welcome to Labor Radio, Rosetta.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you. So IATSE 28, Local 28, has been in a protracted battle with the Rip City management, the employer of four stagehands at the MOTA and the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The stagehands who have worked for the Portland Trailblazer games from the beginning since 1974, they want to get their stagehand work back. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, the basketball team, no, not so much, of course, but the basketball team used managers to run the limited show. And now that crowds are back in the arena, union stagehands are still excluded on all of their previous positions. So as I understand the story, just prior to the pandemic, management insisted on getting trained by union stagehands on how to run the arena in case of an emergency. And now it seems like they just used the pandemic as an excuse to have the Trailblazer and Winterhawk games not staffed with represented workers of the union. Am I right?
Well, this is the way the crew feels. So yes, this is the way the crew feels. For example, the primary sound engineer that does all the Trailblazers games, he was asked to train one of the managers in case of an emergency. The Winterhawks, so sometimes Mick also does Winterhawks, but that's usually Greg, but they had been told, and yes, before the pandemic, one time we had an emergency. John, who does other things, not sound, he does scoring, or he used to, doesn't now. He would take care of the referees with scoring, the clock, things like that. He'd run the headsets. He'd set up pregame. He missed one game in 25 years. And they thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, that was due to a family emergency. One time, 25 years. So they thought, well, the managers should be trained in case there's an emergency, or if it's last minute, we can't bring somebody in. It made sense. But now, yeah, it turns out that same manager or two, they're now doing our jobs, and they've trained the newest person that came on right before the pandemic. So,
okay, well, let's back up to explain to our listeners about the work that your members actually do. As I understand it, your local is a stagecraft local and a mixed local. Stagecraft members work in venues that include Broadway theaters, opera houses, dance centers, regional theaters, seasonal outdoor amphitheaters, arenas, concert halls, parks, television awards venues, convention centers, corporate campuses, hotels, fairgrounds, as well as stadiums. Tell us about the work your members do, who they work for, and how your hiring hall works.
Wow, that's a lot. Let me see how I do my best. So we are a mixed local, which means we cover all types of stagecraft. Some locals, for example, are just a wardrobe local, or some locals do other crafts. So we cover everything stagecraft, rigging, AV, wardrobe, hair, makeup, everything that comes under there, props, carpentry, you name it. We used to have film and TV, but we helped form a studio mechanics local. So we're the old local in town. We turned 125 during the pandemic, so our party has been postponed, and I look forward to you all coming when we do get to celebrate. Okay. But what we did in back in 1992, we formed Local 488. So 488 since then has been covering all the union television and film in the area. But a lot of our members, Local 28, are also members of Local 488. And we also we all do the same work. Mm. So for example, I was a charter member of Local 488 when we started 488, and I've worked on some film and TV productions. So, you know, back in the day, there was a movie we filmed in town called Mr. Holland's Opus, and there used to be a TV show called Nowhere Man. You know, we're talking 26 years now, but, you know, a lot of us have done that. For the most part of the past 32 years, I've primarily worked with Local 28. And Local 28, you know, we're the AV technicians at the Oregon Convention Center. We're the stage crew at Portland 5, such as the Keller Auditorium, the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. We're the stage crew at Lincoln Hall Auditorium, which is at Portland State University. So we're also on college campuses. We work with the Portland Opera Association on stage. We build props in their prop shop. We prepare, move, and store all the sets in their warehouse. And we do the shows when they come to the theaters like the Newmark Theater or the Keller. We work corporate events like Nike and Adidas. We build the majority of the booths when you have once a year the big Portland Auto Show happens, which is a big show that tours nationally. We go and do that. We do stage and lighting for things like New York City Dance Alliance. And we work alongside really famous, renowned dance companies that are brought to Portland by Whitebird. Whitebird brings in some amazing dance from all over the world, and we do, stagehands do all their shows. We also work with the Oregon Symphony. We have a regular crew that is represented by 28 that does everything whenever the symphony performs. And then if it's a bigger show, we bring in more crew. When it's at the Schnitz, we also have our P5 heads that handle everything with the symphony. So the chairs, they're invaluable instruments. I don't know if you know, but they have regular performances down in Salem. And our crews also take them down when they go down to Salem and set up everything for them there and run their shows and bring them back home. We also work with the Oregon Children's Theater. Oregon Children's Theater has a regular season, again, at P5, all still shut down. They bus in kids from all over the Portland area. Very inclusive, you know, kids from every school get to come. A lot of kids who don't get to experience theater get to come and see a lot of these shows that we work. We also do things like events like the Women's March for other companies. We do sound for events such as the Labor Day events. We do a lot of kinds of things in hotels. All sorts of things happen in different hotels, different ballrooms, different conference rooms. We pretty much have worked everywhere and for pretty much every kind of employer, whoever needs our skills. So we're in the arena. One day we could be in a parking lot the next day.
You've just tuned in. This is Labor Radio, KBOO Portland. We're listening to Rosetta Benitucci, the business representative of the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, Local 28. Fascinating. You know, I want to say, I want to give people the link to that 9-minute video. I watched it. It is fascinating, the history of your union. I made a short URL, and it's bit.ly/IATSE, and then lowercase video, VIDEO. So that's bit.ly/IATSE video. And I'll say that again at the end of the show so people can write it down.
Thank you, Jamie.
Right on. Oh, so this pandemic, that's put the great majority of your members out of work. How has the union responded to this situation?
Well, I can tell you this is unprecedented, 100% shutdown in the beginning. All of us will remember March 11th, 2020. I can tell you that day, Tool was at the Moda Center. Frozen had a show at the Keller. And we had a lot of people working just between those two events. And everyone, it was just kind of shocking because we knew that the governor was having a press conference the morning of the 12th at 11 o'clock. But as you remember, we all got the information the night before that everything was going to get shut down. So, you know, after the shows, everyone closed up and we all wondered, wow, are we going to be out of work for a week or 2 weeks? And Tool was supposed to go to Eugene and load into the Holt Center. And they, you know, because we got the information beforehand, that show was not loaded in and it just got to its trucks and left town, unlike other shows that got trapped in the theaters because we were shut down. So I got to tell you that it was shocking how this kept going. So what happened? Okay, the international, our international has been instrumental in so many ways. They have been lobbying to get us help from the government. Our international hired epidemiologists and they wrote safety standards for our industry to deal with the pandemic, all brand new, right? They made sure that most workers had healthcare. Most of the workers who had IOTC healthcare have had it throughout the pandemic. Whereas, as you know, healthcare being tied to employers, a lot of people lost their healthcare last year. And you know, they've done a lot of really good work supporting us with suicide prevention. You know, there's a lot of depression already, a lot of need, right, for mental health. Once this kept going further and further, and we knew we were gonna be without work during the winter months, it got really scary. And you know, I gotta tell you, they were way ahead of it. They were ready. December is the darkest month. It is a high suicide month. It's our careers, our industry, it's hard. And I think I say that later. We work long hours and suicide is an issue. And I can tell you our international has been there for us. And there's some organizations like the Actors Fund. The international put a bunch of money there. They donated so the Actors Fund could take care of, they have grants to help people in our industry, not just actors, but stagehands too. And workers have been able to apply for grants through the Actors Fund and help them make ends meet. And you can donate to the Actors Fund to help us. Behind the Scenes is another organization. They do a lot for us, a lot for mental health. And they put out an app. They connected people one-on-one where you can chat with people in our industry. So you could talk to people in our industry and talk about what it's like to go from 70 hours a week to nothing. And they've been all through the pandemic. Recently, they've updated the toolbox talks and they're making it an industry standard. So at the beginning of every work call, we talk about things like inclusion, bullying, harassment, a lot of things that we've been focused on over the last year, you know, like BLM, everything else, it's all in there. Our local specifically, so Local 28, early in the pandemic, we started an army of volunteers making masks. One of our members, Rebecca Lewis, headed up mask making. We have a lot of stagehands who sew because of what we do. And a lot of them jumped right into making masks, and not just the wardrobe workers. We had riggers making masks. We had AV workers making masks. We had them on school bus drivers. Back when the school bus drivers were delivering meals to kids, TriMet bus drivers didn't have masks. We sent them to hospitals, shelters. Anybody that asked for masks, we got the mask. We made kid-sized masks. There was a group that was organizing a BLM march, and it was being organized for kids and families. We got them masks.
BLM is like Black Lives Matter.
Yes. All the Black Lives Matter started during this. And we made sure everybody who wanted to participate had a mask. Anybody who asked, we got them masks. Then we started the food pantry at the office. We started collecting food from people who could give and getting it to people in need. Then the fire started. Our local in Ashland, 154, on top of a pandemic, an industry shutdown, we had members losing their houses during to the fires. Though, as you know, the fires hit the Portland Metro Salem area. We had displaced workers everywhere. We have people in their cars. We have people not only needing food and water, places for their animals, places to charge their phones. So we had lots of members showing up at the office and we figured out how we helped them. And then, as you know, workers helping workers, were doing great food box drives, and they took care of us. They made sure that we had, oh my gosh, Jamie, all the boxes that we could handle. They made sure we had enough food boxes to get to all of our workers. We got food boxes for Local 28, for Local B20, for Local 488. We got boxes sent down to Ashland, boxes to Salem, boxes to Vancouver. I got to thank the labor movement for really those who could help have helped and continue to help.
Was that Labor's Community Services?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And thank you. Big shout out to UFCW who would not. Yeah. UFCW has been very, very, very good to us through the whole pandemic. So now we have food swap every 2 weeks at the office. Our activism committee is the parent committee. We have a good and welfare committee, a women's committee, a pride committee, and a diversity committee. And the members of these committees, they obtain produce and other items. So our women's committee chair, big shout out to Mae Kingle of Waldo. She found a source of fresh produce donation for us. And our good and welfare chair organizes the volunteers. Shout out to Laura Fraley. And then they, with Rebecca Lewis, every 2 weeks they go pick up this produce. And then the next day we have other volunteers show up and we give away at our office. And other people show up with gift cards and other items that are needed. So we have like this big swap. People bring stuff, other people take it, right? Several of our members have been donating gift cards. I got to tell you, the gift cards from our members, the gift cards through Labor's Community Services, they make a big difference. We get gift cards for union grocery stores, and then the workers can go buy things. You know, things are expensive. Things like diapers, things that don't come in the food boxes. You know, the things the food stamps can't buy. Tampons, gas, diapers. I could go on, right? There's a list of things people forget that you still need, right? We also have extra online sessions to connect with our members. We do things called Coffee with the BR. People get on and show us their puppies, their children, their artwork. We have a couple of members who started doing an axe throwing league. Hmm. They show us their axe throwing. They show us the axes they've made, their flaming axes, their targets. I mean, we've had all kinds of things. People get on and check in and just basically socialize. We send out polls to find out how members are doing. I mean, we've been trying to get creative to keep, you know, in touch with everyone. We're so used to spending our day together because of the hours we work. The pandemic's been really, really hard on people.
Yeah. Whew. What a story.
Yeah, it's amazing that your local, given that you do not see each other on a daily basis, that you've been able to keep such a tight family going through this rough time with, you know, primarily everyone being unemployed. It's absolutely amazing the work that you've done. Yeah.
Mm. So back to the Trailblazers in Rip City Management. So you've been having solidarity actions every home game, demanding your jobs and now passing out flyers to the fans as they arrive. What kind of support have you received from other unions, especially from the Players Union?
So we haven't officially seen anything at all from the Players Union. We would really love to see some media support from the players or from the union. They're really gracious to us. I mean, they see us every game. They wave at us. They give us thumbs up. We make sure we wave at all the away teams when they arrive in their buses. We're always out there, but we could really use a tweet or two. We've all seen the power of those tweets. It would be really great if they could tweet some support for the stagehands, you know, that do their games. Many of them have been around a long time and they're familiar with our stagehands. I mean, they've seen us, you know, we've been there for decades, a lot of the same guys. So they know who we are. And gosh, Jamie, you've been out there. We've had several unions and union members out supporting us, as well as Jobs with Justice has been there. Jobs with Justice has made a point of making sure someone's there, but we've had so many different unions. Big shout out to Liuna. Liuna brings our big blow up friends and
the rat.
The rat. We've had the rat, we've had the cat, and you've been there. We've had teachers, we've had nurses, We've had a lot of La Una. We've had AFM, which is the American Federation of Musicians. We've had all the other IOTSI locals have come. I'm probably forgetting. The really cool stuff is, you know, the transit drivers, right? Whenever the buses and the MAX goes by, they always honk for us and blow the horn, which is really cool. I mean, we feel really supported by the labor movement. We've had a lot of support from the AFL-CIO. They've helped with our flyers and our posters. You know, we've been shut down, so, you know, we don't have all that regular income we normally have. Right. And we're getting a lot of support from everyone that can. We had, I should probably mention here, oh wait, no, I'll wait for the next one. Go ahead. Sorry.
So what has management's response been?
So when they first told us, oh my gosh, November last year, I can't believe we're still talking about this. They said, well, there aren't going to be any fans. And I'm sure you've heard that the NBA season is going to happen, but we don't need you. There aren't any fans. And we said, well, that doesn't sound quite right. Some of our jobs are still there, whether you have fans or not. Well, we're using our guys. And we're like, what do you mean your guys? We're all your guys. You're our employer. Well, we're going to have the production managers do the jobs that are needed, and we don't need you. And we said, well, that's not right. So the workers weren't happy about it. Management refused to negotiate over it. We've been negotiating our successor agreement that covers all of the things that we do there, except there's a sports exclusion. And they said, we're not going to talk about it. And we said, okay, fine. So the workers all signed representation cards. And we said, hey, all your workers want representation. You could give us voluntary representation. And they said, nope, we're not going to do that. You already have a unit. And we said, well, no, we don't. You're refusing to bargain, so we don't. So we had a clarification hearing with the NLRB. And the NLRB said, yep, looks like these workers should vote, and we should fix this. We should clarify this. Management continued to refuse recognition. So next thing we did was we had a vote, and they counted 53 ballots, and we won 53-0.
Right on.
So pretty strong message there. We thought, okay, great, we're going to go talk now. So they canceled the one negotiation date we had, and then they offered one short session last minute, which we couldn't do. And let me tell you that we counted these ballots on April 1st. Yes, we did. April 1st, 53-0. Then they gave us dates in May. So our first date back was the 14th. So that was, what, 6 weeks of nothing. 6 weeks of the season going by, and now we're at the end of the season, right? So here we are. We had a session the other day, and they gave us, I will just tell you, it did not go great. The wage proposal they gave us, it was literally a negative offer. The last time we had a wage increase was 2019. They offered us a small increase in 2022. So not even cost of living for 20 or 21 or anyone who's been working. It was really, really awful. I just got to say, it's really disappointing. These workers have been out of work since March 11th, 2020. They gave no healthcare contributions. Most of our other employers all gave these workers a healthcare contribution to help keep their healthcare going. A lot of them give us PTO, and they worked with us on helping everyone get their PTO. Some of them worked with even more contributions. It was really shocking during a multi-year pandemic that's not over and a complete industry shutdown to literally offer zero support. We haven't seen an increase in our 401k with this employer since 2015. We asked in negotiations for 1%. They offered us 0.5% in 2024. So we're talking 9 years with no increase in your 401k. You know, a lot of these workers have had to gut their 401k money to survive this pandemic. You know, again, it was great that they were able to access it. You know, the government's working with us to try to, you know, take care of as many people as we possible. But, you know, a lot of these people are in their 40s, their 50s, they're older. They're not going to work enough years to replenish that money. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, it's just another slap in the face. It's a lot. It gets really emotional here.
Yeah. So they're not moving. What are your plans, if you can reveal any of them, to escalate the pressure on this Rip City management?
Well, I can tell you, we go back on Wednesday, and we're really hoping that they see and that, you know, they can change the narrative. This whole narrative could be, wow, Rip City takes care of their workers after a pandemic, or during a pandemic, it's not over, right? During a pandemic and historical unemployment, Rip City takes care of their workers. They make sure that they have what they need. You know, they could come out and be the heroes. Their signs say, you know, we're all in this together. Well, we don't feel like we're in this together.
Yeah.
You know, we're here for you. We're part of the community. They could, this whole narrative could change. I could be telling you how fabulous and wonderful they are. So we're hoping Wednesday that they decide to go with that. What I can tell you is we are the entertainment industry union. We do costumes, we do special effects, we do lighting. And I can tell you if this goes on, it will get, let's say, creative. We know that there's
full protection, huh?
We know that there's a playoff game coming. Mm. And we know that there's going to be a lot of media attention and there'll be lots of fans, right, watching what's going on. So I'll let you know.
Wonderful.
How can our listeners help and keep in touch with your struggle?
Well, we post our updates on our Facebook page. So IOTC Local 28 Facebook page. We're pretty much there. You can see what's going on and we can let you know. We also post a lot of links of places that you can give. One of the things I got to point out is it's not just like we don't have our jobs or we've lost our jobs. These are our careers. Our industry is shut down. There's nowhere to go. Oh, I worked here. Now I'm just going to go over here. There just isn't anywhere to go. The few things that add, you know, the Blazers, the Rip City, they could be giving us more jobs. So I should let you know here that Jamie, as of a couple of days ago, since we talked, because the Blazers are going to the playoffs, they did offer a crew to come in and help set up for the playoffs. Mm. So we had a crew that went in today and did the technical things needed that we normally do for the playoffs. But we need to see this in the CBA, right? We need to see some protections and we need to see this solidified that they don't just change their mind next week and not bring us back.
Collective bargaining agreement, CBA.
Exactly, the collective bargaining agreement. We need to see this included and protect these workers. So how can you help? You can watch the video that Jamie's gonna tell you again.
Again, it's bit.ly/IATSE video. That's lowercase bit.ly/IATSE video. And watch this great 9-minute history, 125 years of the history of the IATSE union. And then
you can see what we do. You can learn about us and you can see all the things that we do. And then if you go to our website, the easiest place to find all the links is the IOTC 28 website. There's a button on there. It's resources and donations, and you can see all the different places that you can help us. We have a workers donation portal, and you can click on that and see where you can donate. And like I said, if you donate to the year 2 pandemic, we'll send you a pandemic bandana. And there's a link for the Actors Fund, and you can donate there. It'll help us behind the scenes, LCSA, and also Together for Oregon. You know, I don't know if we have any time left, but one of the things that happened during the pandemic, Jamie, is Together for Oregon started last May. It's a group of us that are all in the industry, and union and non-union came together, and we did a live broadcast sponsored by KGW, and we did an hour-long broadcast, and we raised money, and it went to different charities to help out people during the pandemic, and one of them was LCSA. And LCSA, oh gosh, I think they took care of 112 families.
Which is Laborers Community Service.
Community Services. They took care of many families for the pandemic and got food to them because of Together for Oregon. And Together for Oregon is going to keep doing things to help our industry. So you can go on their website too and click the button and donate to them, because you know that money will help all of us.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Rosetta. It's been an amazing story you've told to us this evening. Back to you, Jamie.
Yeah, and that about wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio, this Monday and every Monday from 6 to 6:30 on KBOO 90.7 FM.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate both of you very much, and I appreciate your show.
And you've been listening to Rosetta Vettitucci, the business representative of the International Alliance Theatrical Stage Employees, Local 28. I'm Jamie Partridge. My co-host is Amanda Hill.